Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast.
This is Emily.
And this is Jeanette.
And this is Horror Slumber Party. And Jeanette, you are cutting out.
We forgot how to record.
It's been like a month since we've recorded, so.
It's something. Am I really cutting out?
Yeah.
Oh, sad. Well, hopefully okay. It'll stop.
Yeah, hopefully. That would, I hope so too. We still haven't quite mastered this whole being in different places thing. I mean, we've gotten better, but it's still like a hustle, you know?
Right. It's something else.
It is.
I didn't even, like, I've mentioned this before. I didn't even know that you could podcast on Discord. I just know that people use it for gaming.
Yeah, and I'm actually, because, you know, quarantined, I'm actually going to play Dungeons & Dragons tonight on Discord with this same sort of voice chat thing.
That is so funny.
Right? And my, like, the guy that I'm playing it with, he messaged me, and he said, this will be great because, like, you know, school's over, like, we're having to do online classes right now. He said, this will be great. Just make sure you have a good mic ready to go. It'll be good practice for when we move online. I was just like, oh, I'm already, like, way ahead of you, dude.
You said, I got a mic. I am a professional. Did you not know?
Clearly a professional, even though we haven't posted in over a month.
And we don't know how to do this.
Maybe not over a month.
No, I think it's less than that. Because what? Our last...
We did the Joseph Fritzl case last week. Yeah. Or last time. Yeah, it was the 28th. Okay, so we're okay.
We're fine.
We recorded it on the 18th, but then, you know, depression kicked me and then I didn't edit for a long time. So...
It's okay. And then the world is, like, going crazy right now. I don't even know what's happening.
It's insane. There's so much going on.
I know. It's like there's so much, but yet there's nothing because everything's canceled.
Right. Like, we went to Target earlier, David and I did. We were just doing the like, they just brought us our things. And then as soon as it was in the car, we used hand sanitizer on the things that they brought us. It was really surreal, actually. But, like, Target looked busy. And I was like, go home.
What the heck?
You shouldn't be here. But, like, the roads are, like, eerie, you know? Yeah. I mean, where I live, we've only had, like, a couple confirmed cases. So it's much less worse here. But obviously, we're still, like, self-quarantining ourselves. And we're just being incredibly careful. But it's weird. No.
Speaking of the hand sanitizer thing that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. So Jessica wanted me to take their pictures because they're adopting again. Aww. I know, cute, right? So
Jessica's her sister.
Yes, by the way. So we went to the, like this really pretty like creek kind of trail to go take their picture. And then we went on walks and everything. Well, of course, to bribe the kids to take a cute picture, they had to get candy, right? So on our way home, me and Jessica went to a gas station just to get candy there because we didn't want to go to the store or anything. We didn't have any at the house. So we go in and the guy was like, we were talking about, we were like, it's scary, right? Like, has it been busy? And he was like, no, like, everyone's afraid. He was like, but I mean, it makes sense. Everyone's getting sick really fast. And we were like, yeah, like, it's crazy. And he was like, he was like, yeah, I was even feeling sick this morning. And we're like, are you fucking kidding?
Oh my gosh.
And so we left, obviously.
Right.
But the bags of candy. So we were like if this guy truly was sick and he handed us our bag of candy, like we need to disinfect everything, even the freaking candy. So we put hand sanitizer on all the bags and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said that you did. And then with the kids' candy, we still didn't want them touching the bags, even though we quote-unquote sanitized them. We we opened the candies and then poured them into a Ziploc bag and then give them to the kids. So
that works. Yeah, that's good.
But what the heck?
Okay, if you're feeling sick, don't go to work. Don't go to work.
I was like, this is so stupid. Like, the one time we go to somewhere, like, just small, just to get the kids freaking candy. We didn't even go to an actual grocery store because we didn't want to go to that, you know?
Right.
And then they're like, he's all, it's gross.
Yikes. That's awful. I mean, awful.
He didn't cough or anything, but.
I hope he's, like, at home and not going to work now.
I know, right? Anyways, yikes. It was spooky.
Is that's our episode for the week, guys. Just
bye. Good night and spooky dreams.
Scary dreams.
Spooky dreams.
Oh, we're spooky dreams. Okay, I thought you forgot. I was like, dude.
It's spooky dreams now.
Oh.
I just love saying spooky.
Spooky is a fun word.
Yeah. I will never like spoopy, though.
Spoopy is a dumb word.
That's true. I will never like it.
It's true.
All those girls in high school. I'm Jay at spoopy season. Oh, stop it. I hated that. Anyways.
Although you literally said it's spooky season, which is somehow better. I mean, I know it's an actual word, which is better, but.
I think spooky season is better and more fun. Spoopy is like you're trying to be quirky, but you're not.
Okay. Yeah, I follow that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel that. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well,
you gonna hop on into it?
I do. So I have a double story for you today.
Fun.
So I talked to you a little bit about this, like, the other day. But what I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about two cases in which someone got arrested recently for it, or they found out who this person was recently. That both have to do with socks.
My sock drawer is silent.
It's what?
Silent. It was a bad joke. Silent. Okay, moving on.
Okay. It's okay.
You know, like, those jokes where it's like, I can't take a... Anyway, moving on. Okay.
All right, nice. Okay, so the one that we are going to start with first is the murder of Denise Sharon Kolb.
That is so sad.
Now, this murder happened in October 19th, 1991, or that's when it is assumed that it happened. So let me tell you just a little bit about her. So Denise was seen as, like, a free spirit. So I honestly could not find too much about this case, which is very sad, because everyone was just focusing on, like, the sock portion of it and how it happened, you know?
Right.
So, like, I could not find anything on her background. I found a couple things. All of my information, or most of my information, is coming from Washington Post, because they really hooked me up.
Washington Post?
Yes, Washington Post hooked me up.
That's so...
So this is going to be an exact quote from the Washington Post. This episode is actually sponsored by the Washington Post.
Oh my god.
I'm just kidding.
Take a shot every time she says Washington Post.
That's a good idea.
It truly is.
It's a scary world we live in. We want you to get drunk.
It's true.
Okay, we can't condone that, though.
You're welcome.
We have to be like, no, never mind.
Oh.
Okay, so this is a quote from the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. It says, at the time of Kolb's death, she was described in the Inquirer as a streets girl whose wild, free-spirited nature led her to drop out of high school and ultimately into a devastating heroin addiction. As her drug problem worsened, she began working as a prostitute, lost two children to foster care, and handed two others over to their grandparents and ran in trouble with the law. So okay, that's most honestly most of the background that we have for this. A neighbor told the Inquirer that she was always in trouble with drugs and alcohol and men, which worried her mother and sisters. But her older sister, Deborah Culp, who worked at a bar under the elevated train tracks in their working-class neighborhood, recalled how Denise had always walked in singing and dancing, making it impossible not to like her. And this is a quote from Deborah, which was, she wanted everybody to love her. She just looked for love in the wrong way. So, really, that's all of the backstory I have on this poor woman, which makes me very sad, as I'd want to talk about her life a bit, you know? Want her to be remembered for good things that happened instead of just her being killed.
Right, okay.
And socks.
And socks.
And socks. So, I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit. So, on November 12th, 1991, her ex-boyfriend, Theodore Dill Donahue, cleaned out his apartment and all of the clothes, and he brought them over to her mother's house. And she just handed him, like, a big pile of clothing. Okay?
Okay.
So, they started... We don't actually know how they met. It's just very unclear how they met. But in October of 1991, she ended up moving in with him. Which, you know, that's good. He worked... This is insane to me. He worked as a pizza delivery man in Philadelphia for the better part of 3 decades. That's a long time to work at any job, especially being a pizza delivery man. So good for you. He stayed loyal to his job.
For 3 decades.
For 3 decades. Yes. Apparently, officials said that she moved into his apartment in the start of October 1991, as I said. Apparently, things were really starting to look up for her, which breaks my heart. She got her addiction under control, and then they started letting her spend time with her oldest daughter on weekends. Which, as you recall, her oldest daughter was in foster care. So that's, I mean, you and your family know that specifically. It's really hard for children in foster care. I mean, I also have cousins that are from foster care, but you know.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's hard for them to be able to, like, the parents to be able to see their children, especially. So it's really great that she was able to at least spend some time with her oldest daughter.
Yeah.
So this is another quote from Deborah. You could see that her confidence was up. She was going to job interviews and she was glowing. So this is where, like, the information gets a little bit, I want to say jagged, but jagged is a weird word to use.
Yeah, jagged.
I don't know what else to call it other than jagged.
It's okay, we'll take it.
The information gets jagged here. So she moved out of his house after only 2 weeks. Which clearly indicates something was obviously wrong, as, you know, she was getting everything back together. Like, she was doing a lot better.
Okay.
So something, I'm assuming, must have happened to where she felt the need to move out. But again, there's not a lot of information on this part. So she moved out after 2 weeks, and apparently she had returned back to sex work.
That's so sad.
It is. So this part, I could not find any more information about it. I'm just going to read this quote for quote from The Washington Post. It says, when they gathered for a funeral on October 19th, 1991, they angrily confronted her about it. I literally could not find whose funeral it was. Like, I found no information regarding the funeral. Which, I mean, obviously, if they wanted to keep that confidential, absolutely. That's understandable. But that is the only sentence that they say that's regarding to it in it. I'm assuming it was a family friend, as it seemed her entire family was there. But I don't know.
I know, I'm trying to think. Okay.
Yeah. So apparently they confronted her about it at the funeral. So I'm really just lost in this whole thing. So Deborah told the Inquirer. I don't know how to say that word. This entire podcast is just me not knowing how to pronounce normal words. Like, that's not okay. I should know how to pronounce that word.
It's okay. Just say it again and move on.
Okay. So this is the quote that Deborah Kolb told the Inquirer. She said, "I beat her up. That was the last I ever saw her." So that quote also makes me question.
It also rhymed.
What?
It rhymed.
Oh, the Inquirer and her. Yeah.
Yeah.
That did rhyme. I'm assuming it was just a verbal beat up, because there was no information regarding this. I looked so many places.
Yeah, that's sad.
Catch I like me how you're losing my mind at the kitchen table while I'm trying to research this case.
Oh my god. I like how you were like, it gets me confused or something. Yeah. And I'm over here like, you're the confused one.
Yeah, I'm the only one that's confused. Everyone else is like, okay, we get it. Like, there was a funeral. I'm sorry for them. Yeah. So, that was the last time that she saw her family was on October 19th, 1991. So the same day, she got into a fight with Theodore Dale Donahue outside the bar in which her sister had worked. So she had just moved out a few days earlier, and according to the investigators, it was the last time anyone would see her alive. No one reported her to be missing.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So in any case where they just forget, or they don't forget, they just don't inform them that they're missing, it just drives me crazy.
Yeah.
It just drives me absolutely insane.
It's true. It drives me insane, too.
It just, it really messes with me. So nearly a month passed before the police got the call about a discovery that was about 30 miles southwest of Philadelphia near the Delaware state line. That November, a resident of Chads Ford Township, Pennsylvania. That's such a cool town name. That's all. Yeah, that's all. That's all I have to say about that. Noticed something to be buried under the foliage near a secluded and undeveloped cul-de-sac. And it was her body, and it was so decomposed that it took them days to figure out who she was and to rule her death a homicide. Days.
Oh my gosh.
That's awful. And I mean, remember, this was so much later. This was in November, I think. It was like, yeah, no, it was like near November. So
that's so sad.
It's awful. So you can guess who the first person of interest was, huh?
Drumroll. Go.
Okay, so it was Donahue, Theodore Dill Donahue. I'm just going to call him Donahue from now on.
Donahue sounds so familiar.
Donahue was someone in Vampire Diaries, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's all I have.
I don't know where it's from. Okay, go on.
Okay. So he was a person of interest, and apparently a friend. It just says a friend. I don't have any more information on this person. Had told the police that a pizza delivery man, who was 24 at the time, had made alarming comments about how Kolb was not coming back. And if he was trying to be subtle, this next part just throws it right out the window. I'm just going to read this word for word. Although Donahue denied any involvement, he admitted that his nickname was Ted Bundy and repeatedly called police the days after his interview to ask with autopsy results. He also offered to help with the investigation in what detectives described as in a nervous manner.
He called himself Ted Bundy.
Yeah, that was like his nickname. And his email was like Ted Bundy and then 1965, which was the year he was born.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's
stupid. Why?
I don't know. Well, it's the thing about Ted Bundy, unfortunately, is a lot of people like look up to him. Which, you know, terrifying, awful, disgusting. But that's like a cold fact, a sad fact regarding him.
Yeah, there really is.
It is. So the police felt that they didn't have enough evidence to arrest him, which, you know, that is unfortunately. So that is true, unfortunately. Just him being creepy doesn't really count as evidence.
Right, and yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, the defense attorney, so the guy that was going against him later in court, argued that saying creepy things is not evidence that someone committed a murder, which it is true. That I can't argue with that. It is true. That's not very good.
Right. No.
So on the 10th anniversary of her death, it was in 2001, the case went cold. And authorities offered a $2,000 cash reward for any tips, but no arrests happened. So, in 2015, when Pennsylvania State Police decided to revisit the investigation, they returned back to Donahue, and apparently his story had changed. So, when initially questioned by police, this is quote-unquote, Donahue had said that he'd seen Kolb on October 18th, 1991, one day before her parents remembered the two of them fighting outside the door. He claimed after buying and using crack together, they had been robbed at knife point and said that she had run off to get help. Whenever he was interviewed again in 2015, he took back that story, saying that he had last seen Kolb outside a bar that day. He admitted he had lied in his original telling, but he didn't admit to any more involvement in the case.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. So, let me tell you what was found on her body whenever she was discovered. Okay?
Oh, wait. I think I know this.
Yeah, we had talked about this just a little bit. Okay. So, she was found with her clothing. She was only wearing a sweater. Okay? And the rest of her clothing was piled on top of her. There were two pairs of pants, a t-shirt, a jacket, and one pale yellow knee sock. And then, while searching his apartment back in 1991, they found an identical sock along with the job application with Kolb's name on it. So that just kind of confirmed that she was there at some point.
Right.
After reopening the case in 2015, detectives set out to confirm that the yellow socks were a pair using the photo advancing technology. They relied on the assistance from Temple University's photography department, which dropped everything, quote unquote, to help. Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner said, he said that. Wow, I said that in such a weird way. So then they confirmed the theory that those two socks matched. And so, you know, there was one on her body, like it was with the rest of the clothing that was placed on top of her body.
That's so weird. Then
the other one was found in his apartment.
Obvious.
Yeah. So apparently they said that the separated socks were a key piece of evidence, but they wouldn't speculate on why police hadn't felt that way whenever they made the discovery nearly three decades ago. So remember, this is all happening 2015. Yeah.
Okay.
Asked if the long delay between Kolb's death and Donahue's arrest had harmed the case, the prosecutor replied with the opposite was true. The passage of time, he said, allowed investigators to see how Donahue's story had changed over the years. There you go. So, here we are now in 2019. Oh, wait, I found his email. It was Ted Bundy 1967. It was on the front page of my notes, which apparently I just skipped right over. Nice.
That's so creepy. Why would you ever want to call yourself a killer? Like,
you
a famous
wouldn't kid. Unless you were, you know, not okay.
Mm.
Yeah. So, Culp's sister, her name is Darlene, another one of her sisters, testified that he brought two bags of her clothing to their mother's home a day before the family was notified that she was dead. Lisa Campbell, who had worked with him at a restaurant in the 1990s, testified that he told her that he had once had a roommate who died on the couch and that he was questioned by the police about the death. She says, "I found it odd. He acted like he just got away from it. Like he just got away with something." And another, a roommate of his in 2012, whenever they worked together at Golden Crust Pizza, it has the address there, but I'm not going to say the address to this place.
I want to know the address.
Okay, well, it's 7100 block of Germantown Avenue.
So, you said I didn't want to say the address of this place, and then I said I want to hear it, so then you said...
I mean, if you want to hear it, I'll tell you, I guess. I don't know.
I love that. Okay. Anyways.
She also testified and said that Donahue had told her that he had returned from visiting a spot in the woods where a former girlfriend's body had been found. That's creepy.
Though,
obviously. Creepy. Yeah. And then he said the woman's name was Denise and she was found face down naked with her legs spread. And she testified saying, "I remember thinking even more that he did it with the details he told me. He was smiling. I thought it was creepy as hell."
That is very creepy.
It's very creepy.
Don't smile.
Yeah, don't do that. So these are quotes from the Inquirer, by the way. That's right.
Hey, you said it.
So I did it. So yeah. He went to court, like, very recently regarding it. Let me see. I'm going to try to find the exact date because, you know, my notes are always just not in the same place ever.
Love you it. Know?
Wow. I'm so good at notes. Okay, so he... was arrested whenever he was 52 years old for the murder. And he went to trial regarding it in November of 2019. But I in no way can find what happened. Like, I cannot find anything regarding this case past that.
Okay. That's weird. Yeah,
it is weird. But yeah, that's going to be the case of the murder of Denise Sharon Culp.
That's so weird.
It's very weird. It's poor very thing. Sad. Yeah. Apparently, something that bothers me about this case is how they just evidently couldn't link the two socks together.
I know. That's annoying.
It's so annoying.
Like, yeah. When I state that it's obvious, I mean, it is obvious.
Yeah, it's just right. Yeah, and how apparently no one called to report her missing. I don't understand.
Oh, yeah, that too. Oh,
I mean, God. If I saw, I am in no way blaming this, but if I were to see my sister fighting with someone outside, I'd want to call and, like, check up on her, you know?
Well, yeah. So that's like... I don't know. That's just common sense.
It is.
But maybe, like, not for a lot of people who don't really focus on their family members and stuff.
Right. And it's possible they fought often. And so it's just a normal thing.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go.
Oh my gosh.
You ready for the next sock case?
Yes. I love some socks.
Absolutely. So, this one, my information is going to be coming just from Wikipedia. This one had the best information that I could find on this case.
No, Washington Post.
I mean, I can try to find a Washington Post article on it, but I don't think it'll work.
Oh, I don't want to make you redo your research.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Although, I'm going to find a really bad joke to tell right now. So, just so, like, we can have, like, a palate cleanser.
Okay.
You know? Because...
So, it, just restate my joke from earlier?
No, don't do that.
That was a bad joke.
Okay, cool. This one's good. What did the fish say when he swam into a wall?
I don't know.
He said, damn.
Wait, that's funny. Okay.
Do you want one more?
Yes. These are good jokes. What are you talking about? Bad jokes.
Okay, well, this one's bad. What do you call a can opener that doesn't work?
A can closer.
A can't opener.
Oh my god.
We're really close.
That was like common sense. I should have just known.
It's okay. I mean, you were like in the right general direction.
Oh my god, it's true.
All right, so are we ready to get sad again?
Yeah, I guess.
All right. So
I guess this is what I signed up for.
It is.
It is.
Okay, so we are now going to talk about the murder of Deborah Louise Jackson. So, her case was also, well, her name, she was known as Orange Socks whenever she was identified. Spoiler alert, she was identified in 2019. Yeah, that was a nice beefy pause. I'm sorry, I had to drink water. My allergies are acting up. Uh-oh.
Oh, no. I need to get off this podcast.
I don't think that's how
it is. Get it through the microphone and the headphones.
I'm breathing into my microphone just so you can have it, too. We'll be together.
I don't want it.
Dang it. Okay, so she was born on September 23rd, 1956. The murder had taken place on October 31st, 1979. We're just jumping the gun there. We're just going straight into it. So she had been found. She had been sexually assaulted and was found in a culvert on Interstate 35 after she had been dragged and thrown over a guardrail.
My God.
Mm-hmm. The cause of death was strangulation, and the reason that they came upon this was because there was a large amount of bruising that was visible on her neck. Other bruises were visible, but the cause of that could have been because her body was dropped, you know, over an overpass, and apparently she was also dragged through a patch of grass. There were blood stains that were present at the scene, and the victim had initially been estimated to be in her 20s at the time of her death. Apparently, there were several murders that had taken place along the same interstate, which is why it was so difficult to identify her at first.
Right, yeah.
So this is going to be... this is just a description of her. This was, like, in the autopsy. And remember, they didn't know who she was. Like, at all. So, this is what it says. Jackson's legs were unshaven with a large number of insect bites. She had very long toenails, and her fingernails were painted, and had a hairline scar was observed beneath the chin. Her earlobes were noted to be unique, apparently. And her toes were noted no longer than average. I'm just saying this because I didn't realize that this is things that would be on this kind of report. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just interesting to have all of this information.
That's very weird.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, go on.
So, despite her injuries, she had not broken a bone during her life. She had reportedly suffered during salpingitis due to contracting gonorrhea. She had 10-inch long brown hair with a reddish tint, hazel eyes, and her age ranged from 15 to 30 years. That's such a big gap there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was approximately 5'8" tall to 5'10" tall and weighed between 140 to 160 pounds. Two of her teeth were missing, but the remainder of them were well maintained and they showed little sign of dental treatment. A silver ring was found on her hand containing an abalone or mother of pearl stone, and her ears were pierced. There's that information. And apparently at the scene, there was also like a towel, which made it seem as though she was attempting to control her menstruation without spending money on sanitary products.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's what they did in the old days.
It is, yeah. But this was in the 70s. This was almost the 80s.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. So, and lucky we are, there is a confession by the person that says and claims he did it. So.
Oh.
He confessed to his murder. His name was Henry Lee Jones. Apparently, he was a serial killer. I did not do much more research on him. But he confessed to her murder, even though there was no evidence that he was involved in the killing, sexual assault, or the disposing of the body. This is what he said in an interview. He said that he picked her up in Oklahoma, and they had sex. He asked her for sex again while he was driving. And he claimed that she said, not right now, and attempted to leave his car, at which point he killed her and raped her corpse. He then drove her body to Georgetown.
Mm.
Yeah. That is at least what he claims. However, one report does claim that during the time of her murder, he was working in Florida, and the murder took place in Texas.
Oh my God. Processing that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They also stated that he apparently contradicted himself several times while confessing to the murder. And he was also shown images of the crime scene before his interview. So I don't think that should be a thing. Like, if you're interviewing to confess to something, you shouldn't get to see the crime scene photos. Because then you can, yeah. Yeah. So, it's estimated that if he were to drive 70 miles an hour, it was like to get to Texas back to Florida, it would be very unlikely for him to be there working at that time. So, we really don't know what happened there, or if he was, and if the account in which they said he was working in Florida was just false. Like, we don't know regarding that. So her body was found nude, and she was only wearing orange socks, which is, you know, where the socks come from. So in 2001, so this is like quite a while later, a photograph that resembled her was like shown to the surface, and they did some like DNA testing, and they couldn't find it. They were still trying to find out who this was. So the orange socks is what it was called, the orange socks case. It was featured twice on America's Most Wanted, and an anonymous woman called to the program on one occasion claiming that she had seen her hitchhiking during the day of the murder, but that didn't give any new information towards it. On the 37th anniversary of her discovery, their new reconstructions of Deborah were released by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. The organization also entered her into the database. In May 2018, law enforcement stated that they planned on examining the ring to run tests on the identification on where the victim's socks were made. So a book of matches found near the body was traced to a hotel in Oklahoma, but they couldn't identify anyone matching the description of the records.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, in January 2019, DNA from the socks contained profiles of two or more males. It is unknown if the evidence could be further done for identification. The DNA from the fingernail scrapings as well as pubic hair samples. So that is what was taken mainly for that.
Okay.
That was a lot of information.
I know, it really was.
All at once. I hope you followed.
I did. Okay.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
I am glad. Okay, so she was identified like as being Deborah Jackson in August of 2019. Where members of the family. Like, they saw the morgue photographs and the unique physical characteristics, which, if you remember, was her unique earlobes, as it had stated before.
Unique earlobes.
Yes, unique earlobes. But in the end, it was they did a saliva-based DNA kit that proved that her and her sister were related. So that was only done in August of 2019. And yeah.
Oh.
That was a very short one. That one, yeah. I find that one really interesting, though, because, you know, they figured out who she was.
Yeah.
Years later.
I don't understand why it was so much later, though.
I, honestly, that's a good question. I'm not too sure. I feel like I don't think the case ever closed, technically.
I mean, I guess that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we have closure. That's
really effed.
Oh, I forgot to tell you what happened to Henry Lee Lucas. So he apparently recanted the statement after his conviction, like the statement of what he did. I don't know. And by the involvement of state governor George W. Bush, his life's death sentence was reduced to a life imprisonment. So he, like, recanted some of the stuff that he said regarding it. And so he ended up not getting the death penalty. However, this man, he confessed of over 3,000 murders.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is why they called him a serial killer, obviously. And we may just do an episode on him at some point, but
that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah. I didn't do too much research on him. It does seem as though he did murder his mother. You know, matrified, that's what it's called.
A lot of people start.
Unfortunately.
I've noticed that within a lot of cases. They like kill their moms first.
Yeah, okay, pets, that one always messes me up. But, like, in the Ed Kemper case, it wasn't the first one, but he did end up killing his mother.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then threw darts at her head. I don't think I forgot that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about that, though. So, that is the story of the murder of Deborah Jackson.
Deborah and Denise.
Yes. Denise Kolb. Denise Karen Kolb. Sharon, not Karen. Wow.
Kolb, as in like C-O-L-B?
It's key. Wow, that's not a letter. K-U-L-B.
Hold on, I was about to be like, wait, what's key?
Yeah, key is not a letter.
It can be.
If we want it to be, it can be a letter. That's right.
Where would it fit in the alphabet, though?
That's a very big question. I don't know.
And what would it look like?
I have news that I just saw.
Okay.
Harvey Weinstein tested positive for coronavirus. And, you know, he's imprisoned for sexually assaulting people he worked with. So, haha.
How do they get it in prison?
I have no idea.
They're literally physically quarantined.
I literally. But hey, sucks for you, buddy.
Yeah, that. Ugh.
Yeah.
What is?
I hope that a guard there just, like, gave it to him, you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of confused by that, though. Like, how a person in prison gets it.
Yeah, me too. Okay, well, there you go. There's that information, because I looked at my phone and that was a notification. I mean, it was a Twitter notification.
Okay, I was about to be like, how is that? It's just from the prison.
Yeah. They're like, hey, I know you've been, like, keeping up with this, but yeah, luckily it was not that.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, there you go. Those are the two sock cases that I had to tell you.
I'm going to throw away all my socks now.
I mean, just, if someone's going to kill you, just keep them on your person or leave one, like at their house, you know?
I hope that that's not an actual situation.
I hope not to.
But yeah.
All right. Man. There you go. That's it.
Well, we hope y'all enjoyed this. This was really interesting.
And it felt like a weird episode because like we haven't done it for a while. So if we sound off and didn't sound normal, I'm really sorry. Hopefully our next one will be better.
And I'm not sure if my microphone kept skipping out throughout the
episode. It did a little bit, but it wasn't.
I mean, to be fair,
like a lot.
It's not like I was the one telling the story, so hopefully it didn't disrupt y'all too much.
Nah, I think it's good.
But yeah, well, we hope y'all enjoyed it. Make sure y'all email us at
horrorslumberparty@gmail.com.
You can give us suggestions or your input or your own stories. And you can also follow our Instagram.
Horror Slumber Party Podcast.
And Twitter.
@party_horror.
And then I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it. We only have the three things there.
I could have sworn that we got like another one. Was it Facebook?
We have a website technically, but I haven't done like any work on the website.
Oh yeah,
recently.
That's true.
I should probably like do that. Just a thought.
Just a thought.
While I'm quarantined, because apparently I'm having allergy problems, I'll do that.
Oh gosh. I'm praying for you.
Thanks.
But yeah, anyways, everyone stay safe out there. I don't know what the heck is going on in the world, but
and if you feel sick, please don't leave your home.
Please stay home. There's a lot of elderly people and people with low immune systems that will take this virus 10 times harder than you would.
And just because you don't feel like it'll be badly affected if you get it. And there are others that will be.
Even people who don't have like, you know, low immune systems or whatever, it can still hurt them. It honestly depends on you as a person and how well you take colds.
Right.
So if you feel fine
at some point, so that would probably negatively affect it.
No, it would not be good because this virus is it hits your respiratory system, so that would not be good at all.
Thanks, doctor.
You're welcome. I don't know why I kissed you, but you're welcome. Doctor. Okay, we're done.
That's the doctor that's going to go hang out in jail with Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, no. But yeah.
If your doctor kisses you, send him to jail.
What?
Okay, Do I need to repeat myself? I feel like that was pretty straightforward.
Either that or we created a new letter. It's going to be all of this. Folks,
yes, so key is a new letter that goes somewhere in the alphabet. We want to know where you guys think we should put it. Let us know in the comments below where key should be in the alphabet.
I think personally it should be right before Z. X, okay. Y, key, Z.
Yeah, it like has a nice cadence to it at the end, like it still goes down. It's pretty nice.
Still sing the ABCs.
All right.
Yeah. Anyways, right. Okay. But yeah, if you're not feeling 100%, still stay at home.
Stay at home and listen to our podcast. This is our 29th episode.
We know y'all have nothing to do. Y'all have no excuses.
Yeah, listen to us, please.
Oh, goodness.
And we're going to actually start posting once or twice a week now, so.
So you actually have things to listen to.
Right.
All right, anyways. Good night.
We're gonna leave now. Good night.
Scary dreams.
Bye.